This is a week for bagpipes, plaid, and kilts.
Like, they're all plaid.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Does Chuck mean plaid?
The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? Hey, you guys. What are you guys doing?
I don't know. Welcome to the day of the year where there's no sports.
Yeah, that's what I heard Buck tell me that. Why would you report that on a sports station? Like, I mean.
Well, because we love our Wednesdays and it doesn't matter.
Oh, I love that. Well, can I?
Yeah, you got a caveat.
There's one little correction.
Yeah.
Technically, we do have sports.
Well, yeah, we have more than technically. There's sports.
Tonight.
Yeah. There's Summer League, there's WNBA, and tonight.
Tonight, the ball is in the air. At the Open.
The ball is on the pitch at 7:30 tonight in Portland.
What does that mean?
The
soccer?
The Timbers are playing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't.
So. Yeah, well, you didn't even acknowledge our Timbers?
Buckley.
Buck doesn't care.
I would invite you to the game, but then Buckley's going to tell me that his wife said no, so we won't bother with that.
Yeah, I can't go to the game tonight. I need more notice, Sook.
Mommy said no.
Mommy said no. It's all right, Buck. It's all right. We know.
So
one of these days, she's going to say yes.
Who the Timbers got tonight?
Well, you're asking.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Mr. Timber.
At the kickoff time, but not the opponent.
The point is, I don't care who they're playing. I support.
I care.
Our Timbers.
I want to report about it.
They're playing FC somebody. Oh. Yeah. Does it really matter?
It does now.
Not to me.
They are playing.
Joking.
Oh, I lied. They're not playing FC. They are playing Real Salt Lake.
Madrid.
The dreaded Real. Screw the Salt Lake, nothing.
Not the fake Salt Lake, the real Salt Lake.
Yeah, I know.
We got to beat them because if we don't beat them, then they get a leg up on us on Major League Baseball. We need to send a message.
Are we ashamed that we're not Real Portland?
Yeah, why aren't we Real
Portland?
Point.
Yeah. Real.
And what
Portland.
Does that even mean?
Well, I think it's a European thing.
I know, but what? What does that mean?
I don't know. Well, it's not Real Madrid. It's Real Madrid.
Yeah, well, what does Real mean?
I just think it's like when Swigard tries to ethnic something up a little bit. It's the way soccer works. I don't know. I go to the games and I drink. What do you want from me? Hand out a yellow
card. Okay, so in Spain, Real translates to royal. So it's like Royal Madrid.
Oh. Royal Salt Lake. Royal with cheese.
But I think they just knew it was catchy with the soccer fans, and so, hey, more people will notice that we're doing a real soccer thing if we sound like the Europeans.
That's probably
true. I think it'd be cool if we had Real Portland. But then don't you have... So if you're a Real, you don't have a nickname or like a team name?
Well, I think you could. It's just...
So we could be the Real Portland Timbers? That seems kind of like a mouthful.
That does seem
so
little...
We either need to be Real Portland or the Portland Timbers. I'll go with Timbers.
Yeah, because like... Other ones, like, there's San Diego FC. They're just San Diego FC. But then there's, like, the Vancouver Whitecaps and the Portland Timbers.
So why don't some teams
Real Madrid
their team?
Technically is an FC. They are Real Madrid CF, which is Club de Football.
Okay, but
yeah,
why,
but
don't,
there's
they
not
name,
a, they
why
don't
they name their team?
I don't
know. Answer the question.
I don't know.
You got to make choices, man. You got to make choices. And then some of them that don't name their team still have, like, nicknames, right? Like, that you're kind of known by, but it's not officially part of it.
Like what?
I'm not sure
I follow without an example.
No. It's going to drive me crazy.
Yes.
Well, like, they'll be known, like, there was the team that Joey said that I should be a fan
of. Oh, yeah, Leeds, the Whites.
Yeah, they're the Whites. They're like Leeds FC.
Right.
But and they don't have a name, but they were white kids, so they're known as Thwats, which I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, like Chelsea's called the Blues.
Yeah. But, you know, if we're rooting for a team, you know it's going to be Thwats.
I just have always preferred the Whites.
Thwats.
Well, anyway, Timbers are playing tonight.
Yeah.
No sleeps till the Open.
Thwat.
Technically.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's the WNBA tonight. I don't really keep up on the...
No sleeps till Open! See what I did there?
What time's the tee off?
I don't know. I think it's like 10, 11.
No sleep till Open! Bam, bam.
Yeah! You guys say it all with me. Ready? Here we go.
Open!
Is that hot?
Speaking of music, I got to give a shout out. You dropped me off yesterday after the show.
I sure did. Again.
Again.
That's three now.
Yeah, Rop is my...
You're welcome.
Yeah. The
personal Uber service. Very
apparently.
Nice.
Yeah, whenever there's a Broadway show at the Keller, I get the privilege of being dropped off in one tasty.
One time you went in the granola mobile.
That is true. It's always a Subaru Outback, though, which makes me feel...
That's right. Well,
that's all we have.
Forester, please.
Forester.
Yeah. He has a Forester. I have two... If you choose one of us,
it's Subaru.
It's Subi time.
And believe me, I feel very
living that Subi life.
I feel very poorly getting dropped off at the Keller in a Subi. Also, you know the little fountain in front of the Keller there.
Yeah.
Boy, I get that yesterday it was really hot, but they had kids that were playing on the top of that thing.
Kids playing it. Yeah, I've seen that.
Dude, that is like a 15-foot fall into like a foot of water.
Look at you.
Yeah. I had one of those notions where I was like looking to these parents being like, is that wise to have like your 6-year-old on a slippery 15-foot fall surface?
You went to Italy, right? You just got back from Italy. Yeah. Did you see some of the cliffs and the kids climbing and jumping off the cliffs?
It's kind of nuts.
Dude, like no one cares.
I guess not.
Stop being police dad.
Yeah. Well, look, I just had one of those thoughts where I was like, God, I'm an old man. I want to be like, kids, calm down. And it was the Michael Jackson musical.
Ooh.
And I knew nothing about the Michael Jackson musical other than
you're going to hear some Michael Jackson music.
Well, yeah, and
probably.
So I went in cautiously optimistic because it's Michael Jackson, right? Yeah, I'm like, you can't really screw up. You know, you're going to get Thriller, right? You'll get you get Billie Jean. I'm like, all right, it's Michael Jackson, right?
Do you get Ben? Did he play Ben?
Ben. He did not play
the
Ben.
The two of us need
Ben's a weird song.
No more.
That is, I think that's Off the Wall.
Terrible
right?
song. No, I don't think so. I think it was before that.
Is that his worst song?
It's a bad song. I mean, it's young Michael.
Yeah, it's young Michael.
Yeah.
So we go in, and so I went in with very little expectations other than, it's Michael Jackson. Like, let's go listen to some Michael Jackson tunes and then probably make some inappropriate comments.
I was going to say, not bothered at all by the fact that he was a child molester? Or
alleged.
What, are we just putting that aside for a night? Or
I will say that, so I was making some interesting comments. It's possible there was these old people season tickets that next to us, and believe me, the old bag next to me let me know about 8,000 times that was their season tickets. Apparently, we were one seat over from where we should have been, and this lady was, she was wonderful.
Well, I really enjoyed the show.
So,
thank you. Bye.
Ben was the album, and it was a Motown. It was solo.
It was solo.
That was early Michael Jackson solo.
Yeah.
And that song sucked.
So I did make, it lends itself to some inappropriate humor. The lady next to me did not care for that at
because
all.
She likes Michael Jackson.
No, she did not like the mic. They left at the intermission.
Oh,
they were not happy about anything. she, you could tell she was like, "What is this music?" Like they weren't having anything to do with it.
Oh, so maybe they were just like blissfully unaware. And then,
do you not look at the tickets before you go if you have season tickets?
Maybe
is that
if you
how
have
goes?
Season tickets, you don't. You're just like, it's like a potpourri.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she had no idea because she kept like she was asking me. She's like, "What is this?" It's like, it's Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, you idiot.
I was like, how do you not know? See, she was, anyway, point of the matter is, inappropriate comments aside, oh my God, one of the best things I've seen in years.
Oh yeah?
Freaking, go.
Who played
go.
Michael?
They had like four Michaels.
Four Michaels?
So
different age Michaels?
Different age Michaels.
Oh, cool.
And I thought, because when you get there, they were all like, it was like anything. I thought it was just going to be a concert because when you go there, there's no curtain. It's just a bunch of dancers like milling around on stage and they're like getting ready. They're like putting on knee pads and like dancing shoes and like warming up and stretching. And I was like, is it just going to be like a concert? But it's a musical. And the backdrop of it is it's Michael Jackson getting ready for a tour, like the Dangerous tour. And then they kind of splice back and talk about his entire career.
Right.
It is so freaking good. And there's four Michaels. And so little Michael, intermediate Michael, and then the two adult Michaels that progressively get whiter.
What do they do with this plastic surgery?
Well, I'm just, there's definitely, you can tell. They've been cast correctly.
Mm.
We have little Afro Michael and then slightly bigger black Afro Michael and then Thriller Michael. And then they do like a 30-year-old Michael.
Could you mix in a black?
And I'll tell you, Every one of them was amazing. But the dude who played 30-year-old Michael, the main guy that kind of narrates the whole thing, dude, I would pay to see that guy in concert over half the acts. That guy was freaking...
So he sings it.
He sings it. He
sings it great.
His speaking voice was just like Michael's. And the dude watching that guy dance was like... Dude, that guy got like 9 standing ovations. He had that crowd whipped into a freaking frenzy.
Shamo!
Amazing.
What did they do?
Amazing.
Did he do a moonwalk out there?
Oh, yeah. Dude, he moonwalked. They did the...
Is he a good moonwalker or was it like... Nah,
oh, no, dude. Not really. Everything Michael. That guy did, right. You were like, dude, you are... He looked like him. He sounded like him. He moved like him.
Maybe it was him.
It's possible that he came back from the grave. And it was like...
What if he never died?
It was peak because it was... They clearly did the Michael is transitioned into, you know, but it was like, it hadn't gone so far where it had gotten weird. It was like prime Michael, like
pre-weird.
And dude was freaking incredible. I couldn't believe it. Me and the BTJ turned to each other at least 12 times and we're like, what the hell?
And that old bag missed the end of it.
Yeah. The old bag missed the end of it. Like this, I've never been to I've been to Broadway shows for 15 years there. I think I've seen everything that's come through. I don't think I've ever seen a crowd that fired up for something. They were, that whole cast was incredible. And watching like little Michael do like ABC, that kid was incredible.
One, two, three.
That's a jam.
Yeah.
God, he's got a lot of jams. Let's be honest. He's got a lot of jams.
Every song. And you knew going in, it was like, dude, it's just banger after banger after banger.
Yeah.
Like they did, and they did the whole, the Motown where they came out of the intermission and I thought they were past it. You know, when he first moonwalked at the Motown, like 50th celebration where he first brought out the glove and did the moonwalk. And I was like, oh, I can't believe they didn't do that. I'm like, you would think that would be, oh no, came out of the intermission right to that, freaking brought the crowd down. I mean, so just props to that entire cast, go see that thing. As good as anything I've seen in years and years and years, and that dude should be a star somewhere.
Give him hot milk. You know, we have little cookies.
And I do enjoy
any reference to the Michael Bashir interview.
Yeah, so they definitely don't pull punches about the childhood. Like the dad is beating him up on. It's a little weird. The dad's like smacking around little Michael on stage, and I think the old lady next to me. I think that was one where she had a hard time with it. You're like it's like like little Michael's getting like whacked. And they do address a lot of the stuff, but they always keep asking him about the allegations. There's a lot of that. They don't say what the allegations are, but they do bring up
a lot of insinuation. A
lot of allegations.
Well, they probably get a lot of heat if they don't at least mention it in there.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you conveniently pretend it doesn't exist.
You can't just leave it out. So you have to do, but you also can't, it's not like you can get graphic. You
can't make it part of the show.
No.
So
they didn't whitewash it.
Yeah.
They addressed it, and...
That's probably a delicate dance.
It is probably a delicate dance, and I thought they did an amazing job. So, well, normally, you know, I go to these things, go if you want to. I'm just telling you, if you are a child of the 80s or 90s, or even 70s, I'm telling you, go, because it will be childhood. There were people in the crowd, like, wearing the gloves, and, boy, I think it's been long enough that everyone's put some of the trouble behind. And you just go there. If you just want to go and smile for 2 hours, that is as fun a time as I've had.
Did you see Aaron Fentress there?
I did not see Aaron Fentress there, but he's a big MJ guy.
Shamo! Woo-hoo! I'm going to start doing that throughout the show, moving forward.
You probably should.
Just little, you know, just little.
Yeah.
I love that about Michael. He had those little.
And that's something.
Fuck-a-cha, ooh.
He had this guy that played him had every
fuck-ink.
Tick and movement down. Perfectly.
Right.
And even the speaking voice was shockingly accurate. I don't know how much time it takes to do that and figure all that out, but that guy, something Meeks, I think his name was. We looked him up like Meeks on Instagram.
Where's he from?
I think he's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
But damn, man. I see that guy out in Portland. I'll fist bump that brother. That dude was awesome.
Brother. Let's just roll, brother.
Have some milk and cookies.
Don't ever say that again.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookies.
Just leave that to Michael, okay? There's your opening seggy. All right. Let's wrap up the All-Star game. You guys want to do that?
Yeah. Because I got to go home and catch up on what happened at the All-Star game.
Fun little night last
night. Well, I was actually watching it during the intermission.
It was electric.
It was electric. It was really neat. And we're going to talk about it next, okay? On The Fan. You remember this?
This is Ben.
The hit single Ben.
Was it a hit?
Michael Jackson's name was on it?
Well, they released... So it's from the album Ben, and it's the only song that they released as a single from that album. Yeah. And I do not know if it was a hit. I don't know that. But it got radio play.
I've heard it.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
Well, look.
It was a song.
When I said every song is a banger...
Did they play Ben?
No. Every song in the show is a banger. Ben did not make it.
I'm writing him a letter.
I'll tell you what.
Ben needs to be in that show.
I have been listening to Michael Jackson nonstop for the last 24 hours now, and I'm telling you, all the problematic stuff has been washed away. I'm back to loving Michael Jackson, and I'm willing to overlook everything at this point.
If you put everything else aside, the guy is absolute greatness. He was. I mean, he really was. He was amazing.
Yeah.
But
well, it's funny. I went into the show a little uncomfortable, and like 20 minutes in, I'm like, who cares? Like, this is awesome.
By the way, Ben.
Yeah.
Number one hit.
Ben.
That was his first number one single as a solo artist.
Well,
it's terrible.
That is so bad. Why did you people like that?
Just because it said Michael Jackson next to it.
But that was 1972. They didn't even know who he was.
No one can be judged for what happened in 1972.
They knew who he was, but he split from the Jackson 5. That should have been their first, like, come on, get back with your brothers. You can't do this. Lo and behold, he could. Yeah,
they did. They did light him on fire yesterday. They had that part.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
they had that. So we had the All-Star game last night.
Yes.
Did you guys see that? The All-Stars played against each other, and there was a whole thing.
Did anyone else besides me not know that there was such a thing as a swing-off?
Oh, no one knew that.
No one knew?
No.
Okay, I'm
glad. No one knew that. Apparently, they changed the rule a long time ago, but it hasn't come up yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, no.
They must have changed it after the tie when in Milwaukee.
Oh, no, it hasn't been that long, has it?
I don't know.
Because you remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
You're old enough to remember that.
I remember that. Yeah, I am old enough to remember that.
that was an abomination.
Yeah, they called just it after 11 innings.
It's over.
Yeah.
You don't have the pitching.
Seelig took a lot of heat
for
that.
There was no other players. Like, they didn't have any pitchers. They were like, well, I guess this
There's no plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
So, so they changed it. I don't know. I don't think anybody knew it was coming, but it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
So once Bobby got the hit, and tied the game.
Yeah.
And then they got the last out. We were all like, oh, well, now what? Or no, it was Quinn. It was
Quan knocked in Bobby on the infield single.
Quan.
So, yeah.
Because Bobby got the first double.
Yeah. Bobby made it 5-6, and then Quaner knocked in. Yeah. Bobby! And that tied it.
And that tied it 6-6. And then we were all like, okay, now what are they going to do? They're going to extra. Oh my God, cool. A swing off.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Well,
nine swings per side, pick your best three guys. That was very cool.
Well, it wasn't best three guys.
It was manager's choice.
I know, but the manager has to. See, Ohtani should have been out there, but he was probably already in street clothes.
Not only that, there are reports that Ohtani and Judge weren't even in the building anymore.
They
were gone.
The only guy that was still there, they showed Scooble out there. Scooble was out there in street clothes.
Right.
He was the starter for the AL team.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
He was out there. Other than that, I think in the All-Star game, most of the time, when you get pulled from the game, you leave the stadium.
Yeah, well, I read a thing. I think it was Logan. It was either Robbie Ray or Logan.
It was Robbie Ray.
Logan
Paul. I saw
the
same one.
Was it Robbie? Yeah, Robbie Ray. Dave Roberts came down and started telling people, guys, this is what's happening, and no one believed him.
With two outs in the ninth, he's telling them, they're like, what?
Yeah, like, huh? And Robbie Ray looked out to the bullpen, and there wasn't anyone there. And he's like, what? Like, there were no pitchers left. None of the players believed it. As you mentioned, like, Judge had already gone. Like, it was like, so not even the players. Even when the players were told about it, they didn't know.
Because it would have been even cooler if Judge and Ohtani were out there.
Yes,
but it was still awesome theater.
Yeah, it was great. And so if you didn't see it, they had... So it was three matchups.
Yeah.
Each manager picks three guys and they put them in an order. The first guys come up, they get three swings.
Yeah. And you don't have to, you can take a couple pitches, but you get three swings.
That's it. If all three are home runs, you're up 3-0.
Yeah.
If only one of the three swings is a home run, you're up 1-0. And it got to Kyle Schwarber, the second hitter for the NL. They were down, 3-1?
They were down 3-1.
3-1, yeah.
3-1. And he hit all three out. Yep. It was magical.
It was awesome.
They interviewed him right before he went up there, And because the previous guy, the Miami guy, Stowers or whatever that guy's name is, he didn't understand what was happening, and he said he just found out that he was doing it. And he said, yeah, I'm really nervous, but I'm just going to go up there and see what happens. Well, he hit one.
Yeah.
They asked Schwarber, hey, are you nervous right now? You got a lot of pressure here. You're down 3-1. He's like, yeah, no. He's like, not really. This is all just for fun. And then he goes up there and cracks three bombs.
One of them off his knee.
God.
Which is a great photo, by the way.
What a stud that guy is.
Yeah. But yeah, there was no Cal Raleigh. He had left. No Otani. No Judge. If you had been pulled early in the game, most of the starters were already gone.
And so your boy Pete.
Yeah.
Was about to come up, but they didn't need him.
Yeah, so the...
That would have been cool if Aranda got it to Pete.
I didn't even know who Aranda was.
Yeah, that was... I tell you what, let's take this journey with me, will you?
Yeah.
We're watching that, okay? And Schwarber hits three, and the NL goes up 4-3. The second you see who's coming up for the American League, his name is... I don't even know what his first name
Jonathan.
Is. Jonathan Aranda from the Rays. The second you see that, didn't we all collectively in our heads go,
it's over.
This is over?
Yeah.
No way this guy is hitting a home run.
Yeah.
And he didn't hit a home run.
No, he did not.
So if he had tied it at four, then Pete Alonso would have come up and all he would have had to do is hit one for the NL to win it and it would have been a walk-off. But it was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to pose you a what if, okay?
Ask away.
Because I think we were all thinking this. Because the stupid Ghost Runner thing that they have right now is dumb.
Yes.
Nobody likes it.
I know where you're going, and I like it.
In extra innings, you start with the guy on second.
What if, because soccer has a shootout.
So hockey.
Hockey has a shootout. Mm-hmm. What if they just did this?
I think it'd be amazing.
It would be awesome.
Yes.
Nine swings per side, and each night the manager really is putting up their best three sluggers. It would be great.
This is my only little caveat to it. So, like, in soccer, you go to extra time, right? And in the regular season, it doesn't go to a shootout. And in regular season, it just, you know, it just ends after extra time. In the playoffs, it's extra time. Then you go to a shootout. Hockey, there is a overtime period with less skaters. And then after 5 minutes, then it goes to a shootout. So I kind of like the notion of play an inning. We'll give you one inning.
Good with that.
Even if you want to do the ghost runner on second, whatever. We give you one inning.
Sure.
Or if you wanted to do the regular, you know, regular rules, no ghost runner, we'll give you two. And at the end of that, hey, you don't score after 11 innings or 10 innings of ghost runner, swing off.
This is a fun way to settle it.
Because I do like the idea of, all right, we're gonna give you one or two cracks at this, and then we're not going to 14 innings. As someone who watched a playoff game of 18 innings with the Astros and the Mariners and wanted to eat a bullet. And that's a playoff game. No one, not a single fan in that building wanted to be there. Mariner or Astro. We just wanted it to end for the love of God. And I get you can't do it in the postseason, but the regular season, 100%, they should do some form of this swing.
Tell you what, fans would love it.
Yes.
Absolutely exciting for fans. And wouldn't it be cool if teams then started carrying that guy? You know, like a roster spot.
Just for this.
Yeah.
Like the last dude on your bench, just instead of being a super utility who can play all the outfield spots and middle infield, he's just one dude who can absolutely rake.
I tell you what, that would extend the career of Kyle Schwarber by about 15 years.
Yeah, you get like Michael Morse out of retirement, all the batting practice heroes.
Amelia.
Richie C. You know what would have been perfect for this? Richie Sexson.
Yeah. Rob Deer.
All those dudes.
Go. Just out there throwing meatballs to him and taking hacks. Dude, when Schwarber got down to one knee to hit that thing, that was awesome. And they've already made that into a baseball card, I guess. And you know that thing, that 8x10 is going to be at every card show he's ever at. It's freaking
going to be
incredible.
At a lot of bars in Philly, too.
Yes.
Well, they should do it. Baseball. Didn't see many people were in the stands.
No.
Where's he in there?
I think a lot of people had decided. Well, we've talked about this. One, it was 6-0. So I think some people assumed that maybe that thing was over. And when you get to the end of the games, a lot of times it's players, as you mentioned, Aranjana, who the hell is this? I'm going home. And it's late, and it's in Atlanta. Although I'll never understand paying a bunch of money for an All-Star game ticket and then leaving.
The other thing is it's a massively corporate event, these All-Star games.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are there for the schmoozing and the beginning and the pomp and circumstance, but they're not really there for the game.
It was 11:30. Well, I looked at the clock. It was 8:30 our time.
Yeah.
11:30 out there. Yeah. So, you know, the kids got to get to bed.
That is one of those sport. And I feel this way about concerts, too. The amount of people that leave before the encore.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
And the amount of people that leave in the seventh or eighth inning or with 6 minutes to go in close ball games, shocking to me.
Yeah. Why did you come?
It's baffling.
I just don't.
It's more important to them.
Beat traffic.
To beat traffic and get home at a reasonable hour than it is to actually see the event they paid money
for. Which is just, on paper, defeats the entire purpose of why you went.
You know what else is in this category? Old people golfing.
Walking off after like
They just want to get done. Like they it is more important to them to get their turkey club sandwich by 10 a.m. than like
I'll just pick up.
Yeah, I'll just let's go move it along. Like, have you ever been to Palm Springs and played at an old like a place where a bunch of olds play? They're up your ass.
Well, they got the early bird at 3:30. Yes. They got to get to it. Let's
go. They got turkey club waiting for them.
Well, my dad was like this, and the first time I went to a concert with him, I think we went and saw. Was it Willie Nelson we went and saw? And, you know, they leave the stage and they're like, night. And he's up, like, leaving. He's like, Dad, sit down. He's like, what? It's over. I'm like, no, it's not over. Like, there's an encore. There's an encore coming, Dad. I promise you. And he's like, nah. He's like, we're leaving. I'm like, no, we're not. Like, he's going to play his three best songs. I ain't got time for this. It just, I realized, oh my God, that's in my family. I have a member of my family that does this. If I was at that All-Star game and the people I were with were like, hey, do you want to get out of here in the eighth inning? I'm like, no, we're not leaving. My God. And by then, it was a close game.
Can I also say that that's a little, this is probably unfair, but I think it's a little bit of an indictment on Atlanta. Because I think if that game's at Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, Philly, I think if that game's in Philly, I think there's way more people there at 11:30 than in Atlanta.
They had a run there when they were making, when they were winning the division all those times in the 90s. They were not selling out their divisional playoff games on a regular basis.
Well, and the Hawks are like that Atlanta is known as a
pretty passive sports town.
Yes, 100%. So you add that into the fact that it is very corporate, and I'm not certain how many hardcore fans were there versus
Braves to Portland.
Yeah, Chevrolet. Well, we're going to need a basketball team here in a minute, it sounds like, so.
Oh, look at you with the transition.
That.
What a transition.
Is a professional
segue. What a radio star you are. Local radio funny man, podcast tough guy.
Everyone's freaking out.
Wow! Yeah, actually someone on the text line is freaking out. They really want us to talk about this, and they're puzzled that we haven't yet.
Thanks a lot, Sean Hyken.
Yeah, Sean Hyken's up to no good with some fake news.
Sean Hyken wearing a cabbie hat down there at the Summer League.
I think it's working for him.
Yeah.
He's a cabbie hat kind of guy.
I can see that.
He seems real odd. Is he an odd?
I don't know him that well.
Odd fella.
I see. Every time I've talked to him, he seems very nice. I don't know him well enough, but he is a cabbie hat guy. And when I saw him out there, I was like, oh, yeah, that kind of works.
Wait, one more All-Star Game thing?
Oh,
how do we feel about the robot umps?
Yes, they should be 100%.
Yep. Okay.
And can we also say that the Hank Aaron...
Because that's coming next year.
It should.
The MLB is going to implement that next year.
Bring it. I can't tell you the number of times when I'm watching a game and there is a really meaningful... at bat, and you just get absolutely jobbed. In fact, it was like maybe 3-4 weeks ago, Bryce Harper had one. Dude, they struck him out on three pitches, and there wasn't one anywhere near the strike zone. It's just, it's stupid, and it's silly that we have this, and we're not using it. So yes, bring the robot umps. But the Hank Aaron tribute, dude, kudos to you, Atlanta. That they hit that thing out of the park. That was a... By all accounts, the entire night and the way it was done, kudos to the, I guess it's not Atlanta, whatever suburb that's in, but.
Cobb County.
Yeah, Cobb County, home of the big boss man, I guess. That was phenomenal. And that Hank Aaron tribute was amazing.
All right. Well, you touched on it there. The Blazers are moving. Can you believe that? We buried the lead.
We've lost them. It's official.
The city. Danny was trying to convince me that if the Blazers left here, the city would die. Before we hopped on the air, I was like, I don't...
What?
Everyone in the city would die?
Well, I don't know what his point was. His point was, what do you think would happen to the city? I'm like, well, I don't think anything would happen to the city. The Blazers just wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it would be dead. Like, what? First of all, it's kind of already dead. But second, the Blazers are that important?
It's only mostly dead.
Mostly dead? I'm not dead yet.
So... I no longer will be able to go into the city if
Bring
we lose the Blazers.
Bring out your dad. I don't know what his point was. I think he overvalues the importance of the Blazers in Portland in a stunning turn of events. We will get to that next. Here is Buck. Okay, ominous music playing. Eminem.
Is this ominous?
I think a little
this
bit.
He's like hyped up, man. He's like,
I would say this is ominous.
He's getting ready to like go to battle, man.
Well, it stands to reason. The song is called "Till I Collapse," yeah. And if we're listening to Danny, the city will collapse.
The city will literally die.
Portland is about to collapse because of some audio.
Thanks to Sean Hyken.
Of an exchange between Sean Hyken of Rose Garden Report.
And the Slender Man.
Boy, you...
He's terrified.
Can we talk about an exchange? Look, no offense to either.
Is that the Spider-Man meme in real life? Hyken and Silver?
Yeah, no offense to either of those two jabronis. But is that the weirdest looking exchange of two sportsmen in the history of sports? Look at it side by side of those two guys.
Well, they're oddly similar.
Yeah, oddly, yeah. But it's just...
Stop it. You got me. Stop it. No, you'd even...
Find me a... I don't know. I'd rather that be radio than video.
No, dude. I'm just...
Know what I mean?
Oh, Adam Silver terrifies me.
So here,
I think
here
he's the scariest thing going.
Here's the comment or the exchange.
Yeah. It's the league's preference that team remain in Portland. We've had great success in Portland over the years. I don't have a specific update on the process, but I know it is underway, and I know there are groups that are actively engaged with the estate and have demonstrated interest in that team. I'd say one of the factors there is the city of Portland likely needs a new arena. So that will be part of the challenge for any new ownership group coming in. But it does certainly be our preference that team remain in Portland.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And that's what
he said.
And I think what...
Bottom line, their ass.
What's Whoa. Freaking people out, twofold.
Kyle Whittingham chiming in. Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah. The two things that are freaking people out is Bill Simmons had a report a week ago, and then David Aldridge confirmed it, that right now they don't have the votes on expansion. And that seemed to be a done deal. They thought maybe at these meetings that they were going to announce Vegas and Seattle.
But that James Dolan is leading a group of others that is essentially trying to block expansion.
Why? Don't they make a bunch of money from expansion?
There's a big expansion fee, but it sounds like they want to see how the new media deal affects everything and the payouts, and they want to go into this. Because, yes, you do get the expansion fee, but then forever you're having to cut the pie now 32 ways and not 30. So it just sounds like maybe it's been put on pause a little bit. The other... rumor out there is that they don't want to expand because then you can use the threat of Vegas and Seattle for leverage with New Orleans and Portland that both need new arenas.
Blazers.
So if you have Vegas and you have Seattle, that takes a little bit of the threat out. But when you have New Orleans that doesn't really support the Pelicans, and then you have Portland that has a tenuous grip on this, you can certainly leverage Seattle and Vegas against those. So sounds like expansion, at least for the time being, gets put on the back burner. We know the Portland team's going to sell probably in the next year to year and a half. And the word in there that's scaring everyone is it is the preference of the league.
Yeah.
But we see this all the time in sports where commissioners do the bidding of owners, and they are going to use this to try to get the city and whoever the owner is to get a new arena. And we talked about this. I don't know why all of a sudden this has become like this. Oh my God. Whoever buys the Blazers, not only are you forking over $4 billion for the team, but we told you it's going to be another $2 billion to build an arena. And knowing Portland, you're not going to get a ton of public funding. It would make sense if you did something like they did with the Major League Baseball Stadium. What was it, $800 million with the jock tax? I could see something like that. I could see you doing some sort of maybe, you know, $100 million, $250 million in ancillary stuff around that the city's contributing as far as infrastructure. I could see the city giving some sort of sweetheart of a deal on land or tax breaks, but it's not going to be a publicly financed stadium. Portland would never go for it. So whoever buys the team is going to have to understand that you have one of the oldest buildings in the country. And part of buying the team is going to be a plan to either build a new arena or go somewhere that doesn't. And I would like to believe, and I still do believe it in my heart of hearts, that part of this vetting process will be a plan to build an arena in Portland. I do not think the NBA wants the look of what happened with Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. And I think a lot of this is a leverage play. Is it on the table? Sure. I don't think it's impossible.
There's one on the table.
The idea that they could leave. That's always a possibility teams leave.
Of course.
But I believe that this here specifically, all of this is a leverage play by the NBA.
This here now.
To kind of lube the deal that whoever buys the Blazers will have a plan to get a stadium because Moda Center in the next 5 years needs to be replaced.
Anytime a sports franchise needs an arena or stadium.
Yes.
Isn't this always
this is every
the
time.
First thing that you know the second it kind of gets to like, oh crap, who's gonna pay? The league owners come out and they do this.
Yes.
In every sport.
Every sport.
Doesn't matter how popular that sport is. Weren't they talking about this in Detroit?
Yes.
Detroit's like one of the biggest sports cities in the country.
It's called Hockey Town, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and the Red Wings were like, well, and I don't
Illich,
know.
And the Illich family was like, well, we play in Joe Louis Arena, and I'll tell you what, if And by the way, the Illich family's worth $4 billion, and property in Detroit's worth like six cents. And they're like, well, if you know, I don't think we can do this on our own, and if you don't, and while it wasn't necessarily an all publicly funded, they got the city of Detroit to bend over backwards, and they used it as some leverage, and they got some sweetheart construction deals, and they got some free land, basically, and the city worked with them. And yes, they used that leverage. And that's Detroit and the Red Wings. So yes, this gets used at every turn. Occasionally someone calls the bluff and a team leaves. But like in Seattle, he never wanted to keep them there.
Well, here's my question with this. And I've always been one to talk everyone down from saying the Blazers are going anywhere. Because in the main thought process there is that the league... I mean, the Northwest got hosed on the Sonics deal.
Yes.
They absolutely got hosed.
In the worst possible way.
And some of that was on the Sonics owner, Howard Schultz.
Yeah.
And I think I don't think the league wants that to happen again to the Northwest. Portland has been a very good market.
Yes.
It's not like New Orleans.
No.
You are a good fan base. You support this team. Now, the franchise has a duty to put a better product out there for you to support, but you have been shockingly patient with them, and you have been actually... they couldn't ask more from their fans.
No.
I don't think. Even though they will ask more from you, and they always do, you have been great. And the league knows that. This is a good NBA market, okay? So they know that that expansion will eventually go to Seattle, and it will be the Sonics. So they kept the Sonics name. That everybody knows that's going to happen. Just because they don't have the votes now doesn't mean they won't have the votes in a year or 2 years, okay? So that's the first thing. So it's not going to Seattle. Then the question that I have, the one question, there is one question that pops up at this, because I've always... we're on the same page on this, always have been. Blazers aren't going anywhere. But there is one little kind of loose end. And in the interest of time, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to ask this question about who actually fights for the team to stay. That is what I want to ask, because Howard Schultz didn't.
No, he did not.
Will the NBA, because I'm not sure the Allen estate will. So that's really my big question here. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Okay, so we're talking about Adam Silver's comments, which I thought were very guarded and like sort of by the book.
It's what they do.
About Portland needing a new arena, but we still want it. Our preference would be to keep the Blazers in Portland, but you know they do need an arena. A lot of people are saying.
A tale as old as time.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's I don't know. People get scared about this all the time around here, but I do understand why it happened.
It does happen.
Well, it happened right up the road.
Yes, it did.
And so... And, of course, Paul Allen being from Seattle, that was always a thing that tied the Blazers back to Seattle. But my question about this is, because Howard Schultz was not looking out enough for the Sonics to stay in Seattle. Mm-hmm. He was the owner that sold to Clay Bennett. And the NBA let it happen, because I don't know who Clay Bennett had naked pictures of. Maybe David Stern. Yeah. But for whatever reason, the NBA did not step in and say, no, you can't take the Sonics to Oklahoma City. And it happened, and it was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is who will fight for the Blazers to stay? Will it be the NBA because of what happened in Seattle? Because I don't think it's going to be the Allen estate. I don't know that there's anything in there. Of course, they did not PDF me the files to read through.
No, it is known, at least from my understanding, that this is a true auction, and it will go to the highest bidder.
Well, that's a problem. Okay, so let me Okay.
But we don't know if there's language in there. We just
Language of what did Paul put in there, this team has to stay in Portland. Well, then, that's not out there. But if that's in the language, then this is a moot point.
Yeah.
But
we don't know.
Here's the thing that gives me, that if I'm a Blazer fan, I think would give me reason to calm down a little bit. Mm. And that is that, unlike when the Sonics had Clay Bennett come out of the woodwork, those were the times when you just had one billionaire guy who had an interest, right? He was from Oklahoma City, that he wanted them there the whole time.
Yep.
Okay. I think nowadays, with how expensive these franchises are, rich people and groups all over the place are trying to get into it to buy professional sports teams. The word is out. It's no longer just a group of single-minded families who own teams, right?
Yeah.
And pass it down. It's groups of people. There are so many buyers out there that I have to think that when push comes to shove, the best deal for the league and for Portland will be one that keeps the team here. In other words, it's not just going to be one buyer. Oh, we're going to sell it to these guys because they're the highest bidder. Oh, but they want to move the team to Las Vegas. That isn't going to be your only option in this market, in this climate of sales of professional franchises. These rich people are lining up to get into this game.
There's groups that are...
Yes, they're going to be able to pit all of these against each other. And if anybody in there has the gumption to say, hey, whoa, the better deal is the one that gets an arena built in Portland and keeps the Blazers in Portland. I think whoever is buying the team, they're going to have to do that in order to win the bidding.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I don't know if that's right, but that's what would make me breathe a little bit easier if I'm a Blazer fan, because I just think somebody in there is going to say, hey, of these three deals that are really good bids, only one wants to keep the team in Portland. That's the one we're going with.
Yeah. I think everything you said is very reasonable. And when you look through the history of the league, teams don't move. They
also vet owners. Yes. I mean, it's not like they just let anybody own a team.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I don't know why. Whatever it was that they loved about Clay Bennett, I don't know what he did, but he greased some palms to get away with that.
Yeah.
He just did. And that's not to say, like you said, there's a chance that that happens again. I doubt it. But that these big-time deals like this, you just never know, man. It's a whole other world of negotiations and how these deals are structured. But I just have to think that somebody will be looking out for Portland in this deal, whether it be the estate or the NBA.
Well,
we've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises.
I will never say never. But again, going back to it.
What a terrible drop.
In the last 30 years, you've had the Sonics that happened, and you got screwed, which everything you said, they don't want to happen again. The Vancouver Grizzlies, which was an unmitigated disaster up there. It should have never been there in the first place. And then the Hornets-Pelicans thing. And that was done knowing that Charlotte was getting another team, right? Like, that was like a hand-in-hand deal. You have 30 years, and basically it's happened twice. And one left a huge black eye.
The Northwest.
Yeah, I just don't think the NBA wants that to happen again. Is it possible? Sure. Because I do think whoever buys it, the issue of the arena is not going away. It's just not. And someone saying, well, the Moda Center is going through some renovations, that's not enough.
No, but I think any deal that I don't believe you will see the Blazers sold without some sort of arena deal being a part of it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think ultimately to get that sale over the finish line, it's going to to include that. And I think that because there is such competition to buy this franchise, there's competition to buy every franchise. Whoever buys it is going to agree to help build an arena.
Now, if you want to talk about where that's going to be built and all that, I will tell you that if it's not in the Rose Quarter, welcome to Hillsborough.
Hillsborough, nice.
It's going to be a...
You driving out there for
nope.
For some hoops?
Well, we can talk, but when we come back, because I do think there is an... we're both into the idea of, I feel very confident it's going to stay in Portland. I just do.
Yeah. I'd bet on it.
I would bet on it too. Not saying that can't happen, but I'm with you. I
what are the odds, Buck? Plus, they leave. What would you put the odds that the Blazers leave?
Oh. 4-1? 5-1?
Oh, I was going way higher than that.
8-1? 10-1?
I would go 10 to 15 to 1.
I just don't think it's a huge possibility.
It seems unlikely.
I like that. Seems unlikely. Now, what happens with the arena that's 30 years old and I think it's the fourth or fifth oldest, and I think it's the second oldest that hasn't been completely renovated. Like the Delta Center in Salt Lake is about the same age. It's really old. They're like, for like the next 5 years, like they're not doing minor upgrades. They're tearing that thing down in pieces like every off season. So I suppose you could do that, but I think there's a larger conversation of what the next 10 years of Moda Center and that looks like. Cause I think that's the more interesting part of this is what eventually happens to that area. Where does this team reside in Portland in the next 10 years?
Do you have a court at your house?
I do not.
They could play at?
Yeah, I don't. And that's the problem. Unlike Seattle that tore down Climate Pledge and just dug into the earth, there's a tenant there. And you can't take 3 years and have them play somewhere else.
Well, you have the Coliseum. Isn't that still standing? Well, you do. I mean,
you can't play there.
Well, sure you can. If you have to. Like, where else are they going to play? Where are they going to play? Like, on a blacktop downtown? The Coliseum at least is there.
It is there, kind of.
They could do an interim season.
Can they just tear down the Coliseum and build it there and play it in Moda Center?
Now you're being silly.
I don't know.
All right, we'll continue this discussion when we return on our radio program next on The Fan.
Yeah, now! Nah.